I enjoyed what Elder Heron said there. I said that was a sermon within itself. And you know, it's good to be back here and thank the Lord for you and for all these little beautiful little children and the beautiful little kids back there. Love all of you, okay? And when Elder Heron was preaching there, it brought back some memories. At one time, there was a man and a woman, and they were very religious. And the woman was very concerned, you know, that her children read and study the Bible. And every night before they went to bed, they would have to read a chapter in the Bible. And she had a girl and a boy. And the little boy, he would just read his just like that and go to bed. And then one night, her mother said, thought, well, how did he read that chapter so fast? Because he was reading Psalm 117 every night. And I'm not going to tell you who he was, but his first name is Brent. But anyway, thank you, Lord, for you. And that just brought to mind that, you know, and you know, a lot of times we think about maybe little crazy things like that. Maybe we shouldn't in church, but you know, we can't always control our minds on everything we think. But anyway, I was glad to hear the news, you know, that you've selected a pastor. And I pray that the Lord will bless this church and bless that pastor. And you take that pastor and love him. Love that pastor and you know, it's this, and always pray for them, okay? Yeah, you know, when they get to the point where they get to doing something you don't like, you know, it's easy to criticize them, okay? But it's better to pray for them than it is to criticize them, okay? Amen. Just pray for them, okay? This morning, in the way of a text, I've turned to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I want to get this watch out here because, you know, if I start going over, one time there was a man that, the way he judged his time, you know, he'd put a cough drop in his mouth. And he'd preach until the cough drop dissolved. And so that was the proper time for the sermon, he thought. And one morning he went on and on and on and on, and come to find out that he got his cough drop mixed up with a marble. So anyway, I don't want to get my cough drop mixed up with a marble, you know, but we'll be mindful of the time. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Think about it. "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." All right, are you, you know, we can see a lot of things that happen because of fear. You know, fear can do things to us. I mean, you say, well, how can I not be afraid? Well, you know, sometimes it's smart to be afraid. That's where that sound mind comes in, okay? You know, if he just said, don't be afraid and don't use your sound mind, you know, that would have been confusing, wouldn't it? But, you know, God has given us through His Spirit a sound mind. His wisdom. So we put all that together. You know, he said, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear." And you say, well, where do all the, you know, God is good, isn't he? You know, God is so good. And we was talking about the Bible. And I want to read a little bit here in the Bible. You know how important it is. I don't have to tell you how important the Bible is. Bible is God's Word.
Yeah.
It's the only rule of faith and practice.
Amen.
And as long as the church and the people in it, you know, as long as they go by the Bible, everything works out fine. But when they get away from the Bible, everything goes haywire. And people, as long as they worship God and they keep God in their thoughts and their minds and obedience to God, things work out fine. But if you want to turn your back on God, He might turn you over to a reprobate mind.
Yeah.
And I love my country. I mean, you know, God is first. Our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ has to be above all things. And I love my country.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good enough to fight and die for.
Sure, absolutely.
I fought for it, but I didn't die. Thank the Lord for that one.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I think for I respect and love our military. I got a lot of respect for our military. And I got a lot of respect for our police.
Mm-hmm.
Say, well, what about what happened the other day? That was one incident.
Yeah.
You know, I back them when me and my wife, when we see policemen out in a restaurant or something, you know what we do? We go up and we shake their hand and say, thank you for your service.
Sure.
And I feel that way, okay? Say, well, you know, you got the good and the bad and the ugly and everything, ain't you?
Right.
Say, well, you know, even the Lord Jesus Christ had 12 disciples. And what did He say about one of them? Said, one of you is a devil.
Right.
What's one out of 12? A little over 8%, isn't it? You know, that's not real good percentages, is it? You get 100 men on the battlefield, if 8% of them were devils, you know, they're going to do some bad stuff, ain't they? You get a million policemen, if you get 8% of them were devils, some things are going to happen. But that don't take anything away from the good ones.
No.
You can always, a mean person will always be mean. They'll figure out some way, you know, to be mean.
Right.
And it makes me think of, even in the hospital, you know, even in the hospital. I remember when my dad, when we carried him, we called an ambulance for him to take him to the hospital. That was his last trip. He didn't come home. But anyway, we called, they come out with an ambulance and, you know, the paramedics, you know, they're trying to put an IV in his arm. And he's got dementia problems that time. And he don't know what they're doing to him and he's fighting them, okay? And I stood out there by the ambulance and it took them a long time while they're fooling with him. They could have easily gotten him to the hospital. But because, you know, some people think you got to go by every rule and regulation, even if it has no sound mind to it or common sense. And so they get him over to the hospital, and I follow the ambulance there, and they get him out, and boy, it's a cold day, and the wind is blowing. It's down to almost zero. And they get him out of there and cover up. The wind blows the blanket off of him, see. And here they are running to the door with, he just laying there, you know, like that. And you know, of course he died of pneumonia a week or two later, you know. I don't know that that's what done it. But when they get him into the hospital, they got to take all of that mess out and redo it because they made a mess of putting the IV in. So they had to get somebody to come hold him down, okay? So they get this big old guy, you know, he comes over there and boy, he's holding him down like that, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, well, don't be enjoying your work too much, buddy, okay? You know, he may have been doing things exactly right. But looked through my eyes, it looked like he was enjoying it a little bit too much.
Yeah.
So, you know, regardless of what you're, whether you're in the military or whether you're a policeman or whatever, you can overdo your job.
Yeah.
And if you're wicked, you're probably going to do something wicked. But anyway, if we go by the Bible, you know, the Lord has given us a copy of his Bible, and it's important that we read it. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. See, Paul calls them holy. God's Holy Scriptures. That's something special in it. He said, which are able to make thee wise. Well, I want to be wise, don't you? I want to be as smart as I can, you know, trying to make it through here on earth, you know, until I pass on. He said, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. See, it's got to be in Christ Jesus, isn't it? And then he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God actually breathed it in, don't it? God's Word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and the Bible says it's profitable for us. How's it going to be profitable? Is it going to make you a lot of money? Well, it might. It might. I know people that live so ungodly, and you know that they, you know, they're living so ungodly they can't even work and make money. You know, some of these people get on these old opioids and crazy stuff like that, and they don't come to work, and they can't make any money because of their lifestyle. That's pitiful. And, you know, if they'd pick up the Bible and read it and, you know, and try to live their life by the Bible, you know, they might get up at daylight like some of us old folks do. There's one of the girls at the shop, you know, I said something about getting up at 5:30 every morning. I said, when it gets daylight, I wake up. I don't even have to have an alarm. She said, people my age, we sleep till about dinner time. And I'm thinking, sleep till dinner time? I mean, you know, Lordy mercy, unless you got a night job, you know. But anyway, they say, well, I'm a night person. That ain't no compliment. That ain't no compliment, being a night person, okay? You know, I'm a day person, okay? You know, the Bible's got something to say about that night stuff, hasn't it? Got something to say about the day stuff, too, hasn't it? But anyway, he said it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. That's what we need it for, instruction in righteousness, isn't it? And the knowledge of what our Lord and Savior did for us. He said that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So don't forget the importance of the Bible. Read it every day of your life. Study it all you can. You know, if you get mad at somebody, go somewhere and get off by yourself and read the Bible. You know, after a while, you know, regardless of what they've done to you, you know, after a while, if they hadn't done too much to you, you get to read, you get feeling so good, you know, and, you know, you'll just forget to loving everybody, won't you? Just get to loving everybody. And even the ones that's done something to you don't seem like it's so bad, does it? Now, if they do something bad enough, now it don't work too good, does it? See, it's easy to sit up here and say, well, you're supposed to forgive. Supposed to forgive. That's the hardest thing in the world that you'll ever do, is to forgive somebody that has really offended you.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do. It's easy for the preacher to say it, but it's hard for the preacher to do it. It's hard for the preacher to do it. But the Bible says we're supposed to.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to work at it and try, aren't we? But he said, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, we see it starts out right there for God. Well, now who is God? Say, well, we all know who God is. You know, God is the one that created the heavens and the earth. God is the one that made everything, isn't he? You know, God is the one that gave his only begotten Son, you know, to pay for our sins, isn't he? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have everlasting life through Christ. Well, now how's that going to help us in this life? In every kind of a way that you can imagine, in ways you can't even imagine, it helps you to be in Christ and try to walk and live your life in Christ. Say, well, you know, if we turn right over here, John chapter 4, verse 23, said, but the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Elder Harry mentioned that this morning. It's important that we worship him in spirit and in truth. And as far as the Spirit, no man can get up here and preach the gospel and really preach it unless the Spirit of the Lord is with him.
Right.
You know, the Bible is very, very careful to warn us about trying to take credit for ourselves. We have to be careful about that. He says, for God said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Then he says, well, God is a spirit. See, I thought you said he was the creator of the universe and everything in it. He was. He is. He's an is. He's not a was. He's an is.
Right.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, well, how can they do that? How could they worship him in spirit? How can anybody worship him? First off, you got to believe, hadn't you?
Sure.
That if you will just believe. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, if you go to John chapter 3, it sort of tells us, don't it? You said there was a man in John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, that came to the Lord by night. Because that was one of your night people, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Night activity. Didn't want to be seen with it, afraid he'd get thrown out of his church. He needed to be thrown out of that church, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth these things that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered him and said something very unusual to him, didn't he? He said, verily, verily. That means truly, truly, okay? Truly, truly. Telling you the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. I want you to let that sink in this morning. You don't take anything else home with you today. You take that home. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom.
Right.
So it wouldn't do a bit of good to run down to the beer joint and try to convert somebody. Say, well, I thought you was a preacher. You're supposed to. I got to work the other morning. My appointment started at 9:00, and we finally got to go back to work. you know, they shut things down, but anyway, my appointment started at 9:00, and one of the ladies over at Big Harbor said, "You still working at your age?" I said, "Yeah, I still have a few old gray-headed dudes that come to me, okay." But anyway, I got there at about 8:30, the door opened up and somebody hollered, "Are y'all open?" And so I went up there and I said, "Yes, we're open, but I've got one coming at 9:00 and I know you. You're a preacher. I used to go to Bethel Church." And I said, "Yeah, you used to come to our shop too, didn't you? But he don't go there anymore. I mean, you know, I don't know what happened or whatever. Anyway, he's some kind of Grace Baptist or something, you know. But anyway, I said, well, come on back and I'll cut your hair." And so I sit him down, trimmed his hair. And so, boy, he is just, I mean, it's very obvious that the man did a lot of reading in the Bible. But it's also very obvious, that the man is all mixed up on some stuff.
Yeah.
He thinks he's supposed to go up and pester people and worry them to death. I mean, he jumped on about three people before he got out of there. Want to tell them about Jesus Christ. Well, you know, sometimes you can be that way, just like this one old boy. He told me, he said, I was over at the waiting room at the hospital and said, boy, I got to preaching to them people in there. Said, boy, they was all glad when I left. I thought, I bet they were. I mean, you can do more damage to the cause of Christ by acting that way. You know, sometimes why don't we just do good and keep our mouth shut? You know, the greatest witness you'll ever be is what you do.
Yeah.
Say, well, I love the church. Well, go to it every once in a while. Used to be a man, he was one of the deacons of Big Harvest Church. And we was going over the books one time, see, and I was the clerk of the church. And I noticed we had about 120 people on the book, and only about 60 people would come on Sunday morning. And I go and I said, what is going on? We got all these members and nobody's here. And he got to going over the book, you know, and he'd see a name there. He said, oh, Lord, they ain't been here in 20 years. And he didn't tell nothing. He said, well, you know, and he said, that old guy said, when he died, he said, Brother Lillard told me, he said, boy, he sure loved the church. He said, all I said was, yeah, you tell it by how often he showed up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes the greatest witness that we can be is to do it.
Right.
Just do it. You know, and it's like a man, he might say, tell his wife, I love you, I love you, I love you. But how about getting out and getting a job, you know, and bring a little money back?
Yeah.
You know, a woman say, well, I love you, I love you, I love you. And the man come in and ain't nothing to eat. Say, well, I thought you loved me. You know, sometimes action speaks louder than words, doesn't it?
Amen.
But he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. That's an impossibility there.
Right.
Impossible. Now, what is born again anyway? Well, if you look in your center column, it'll say born from above.
Right.
That is a God birth, isn't it?
Right.
Born of God, isn't it? Say, well, you know, an old Nicodemus, he said, how can a man be born when he's old? Said, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's thinking about natural childbirth.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Bible compares a spiritual birth to natural childbirth, doesn't it? And there is a lot of comparisons in it and a lot of wisdom that can be learned from that. Say, well, how about natural childbirth? Say, well, what did you do the first time to get born? What did this little boy do to get born? He didn't do nothing, did he?
No.
What will he have to do to be born again of the Spirit of God? Nothing.
Right.
He can't do nothing no more than he could with his natural birth, can he?
Right.
See, some people don't like to hear that because it takes them out of it. You know, people want to be in control of everything.
Yeah.
I want to be the master of my soul. I want to be the captain of my fate. You know that. That's not the way it works in the spiritual realm, is it? Some things are totally out of our hands. You know, there are some things that are conditional in this life, isn't it? Nicodemus said to the Lord, and the Lord Jesus answered him, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Oh, do you mean that spiritual birth could happen to be in the water? That ain't what it said. This is in John chapter 3, verse 5 right here. That's not what it said, is it? There's some people say, well, if he ain't been baptized, he'll go to hell. That's not what the Bible's saying, is it? So except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Well, that water is symbolic of the Spirit, isn't it? So, well, let's just look at baptism just a minute. Well, when you go to, well, of course, the way of baptism is by immersion. Immersion, that's baptism.
Yep.
Say, well, how is that like the birth or whatever? Well, you say, well, we'll go down to the water. You take the subject, and he's not baptizing himself. I've seen on television where people go over and duck down in the river or something, and they think they're baptizing themselves. They're not even, that's not baptism. You know, when you get baptized, the preacher is the one that baptized you, isn't he?
Right.
And you're just a subject, and you're standing up there in the water, and then when you stand there, and then when the preacher lays you back, like death, isn't it? Like death. You close your eyes like in death, don't you? The preacher pushes you under the water. You're buried like in death. Buried in the water. Buried in the spirit. In the spirit. Put them together there. Buried in the spirit. And then the preacher brings you up out of the water. And then you open your eyes up. And you know what's supposed to happen? You're supposed to walk in newness of life. And all of you can probably remember when you were baptized. And, you know, you felt good for the next few days, didn't you? Felt so good, didn't you? It was a wonderful thing, wasn't it? And, but anyway, he said, except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom. Say, well, you know, how can I join the church? Well, you got to be baptized to get in the church, ain't it? Mm-hmm. That's one of the ordinances, isn't it?
Right.
Water baptism is one of the ordinances. Say, well, will that mean that I'll go to hell if I don't get baptized? No. But you can't be a member of the church if you don't get baptized. There's one little lady from another order said, well, the reason I don't get baptized because I've already been baptized in another order, and if I get baptized again, I feel like I'm denouncing my first baptism. Well, just think about that one.
Yeah.
Well, you've already denounced it when you quit going and started coming here. I mean, what's the big deal? You've already denounced that other baptism. If it was all that good, you'd still be over there, wouldn't you?
Right.
But they don't want to get baptized again. There's something within their mind. If you want to be a member of the church, you know, just go ahead and submit and get in the water.
Yep.
He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. A little baby that's born into the world. A lot of sweet little babies. Oh, I just love all these little babies. I'm telling you, you know, I just love them, you know. And when I say that, I'm not saying it out of phony hypocrisy. I mean it. I mean it. I love them little babies. Me and my wife, you know, and little kids, they know when you love them, don't they?
They do.
They know. You don't have to say nothing. The other little boy come in the barbershop like that, you know, and his mother worked upstairs. And he would come in there and talk to Betty. She was the receptionist at the time, see? And he knew, that little boy knew she loved him. You know, she didn't have to say, I love you. I mean, he knew it.
Yeah.
I mean, he would sit there. And again, another little a little girl come in there. You know, that somebody left a little girl on his doorstep. No, at work. It was a little half-black baby. A little girl. And he took it home with him and adopted it. And he'd come down to the barbershop and get his hair cut, and that little girl would sit up there in Betty's lap. And that little girl said, she said, you love me, don't you? Betty said, yeah, of course I do. She said, well, a lot of people don't like me because I'm mixed. And you know, isn't that sad? I mean, it's sad, isn't it? You know, a lot of sad things that happen, see? And maybe if the kid's mother had been living a decent, godly life, she wouldn't have left it on the doorstep.
No.
But anyway, the point I'm making is that little kids, they know when you love them.
Right.
So anyway, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We're all born in the flesh, aren't we? Natural flesh. And then you have to have that other spiritual birth that comes from God, doesn't it? I wonder how he picks the ones he wants to born again. Well, he knew you before the foundation of the world, didn't he? He loved you before the foundation of the world. He chose you and he predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his son. He knew you before you was ever born. Say, well, how could he do that? Because he's God and he is smart. He's not like we are. He knows all things, don't he? He even knows what we're thinking.
Right.
He knew us before we was, you know, before, even before time he knew us.
Sure.
And we come into the world and we're his kids, all of his children, somewhere between birth and death, they'll be born again of his spirit, won't they? Say, well, John the Baptist, well, he was quickened in his mother's womb. That's true. That's true. He was quickened, you know, he was born of the Spirit in his mother's womb, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Say, well, how do I know whether this happened or not? Well, if you like coming to church, that's pretty good evidence, isn't it?
Right.
If you like to read the Bible, that's pretty good evidence that you've been born again of the Spirit of God, isn't it?
Right.
You know, if you like to hear these old good old songs sung, you know, that's pretty good evidence that you already have the spiritual birth in. And you know what happens if you already got it? That means that heaven is waiting for you.
That's right.
That means that heaven is waiting for you. You don't have to lay down at night and worry, afraid you're going to hell. Mm-hmm. Had this little old man come to me, and he was of some other order, and he comes, he's about almost 90, about up in his 90s, wasn't he? He said, whoo, walking across that parking lot, said, that got me out of breath. Said, I'm going to have to get myself in better shape. He said, I sure hope I make it to heaven. I'm thinking, well, you won't make it to heaven. You can't make it to heaven. You have to be carried to heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can't make it nowhere, you know. But he believed, he was one of these people, you know, I call them Arminians because they believe in the work system. They think thinking that if I be good, I go to heaven. If I be bad, I go to hell. You know, a man, you know, that's sort of the natural way that people think, isn't it? If they hadn't been born again, if they don't come to church and read the Bible and consume a little bit of this knowledge. But the Lord said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's a God thing. That's a God thing. Then the Lord said, marvel not that I said you must be born again. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. So, well, if I'm born again, how do I know? Well, some people, I had to preach a funeral one time, and this old boy was a wicked guy, you know, loved drugs and all that. Probably OD'd, I don't know. But I got the job, and his ex-wife worked there with us, and I said, well, have y'all got Bert's funeral all worked out? And she said, his brothers, they don't know how to do nothing. Said they had a preacher lined up to preach his funeral, but the preacher backed out. And she said, you're a preacher, ain't you? She said, well, will you preach his funeral? I said, well, if you can't get nobody else, I'll do it. I don't act like I didn't want to do it, but, you know, I really didn't care to do it too much. You know, but anyway, you know, I don't know about that man's heart, you know. I know how he lived, but I don't know his, I didn't see his heart. I haven't seen the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know whether his name's written there or not, okay? He wasn't living like he was. But anyway, I go in there and I preach the guy's funeral, and then in walks this other old guy, and I mean, he was living a life like you wouldn't believe. At one time, I knew him a long time ago. He come in there in his cowboy boots and his hair kind of back in a ponytail, clopping up and down there. And he sits down there, but when I opened the Bible up and started reading, he gets up and walks out. And I thought, well, is he some kind of devil that you open the Bible up and they run?
Yeah.
But he walked out, but he come back in, a little bit later. And when I got through preaching that funeral, he come up to me and he said, you know, Frank, you're a good speaker, you know. He said, I got born again back in 1967 at 9 o'clock one night. He even had it right down to the minute.
Yeah.
He may have, I don't know. You know, but it don't work that way for most people, does it?
No.
Most people, it's sort of like the wind blowing, you know. It just happens, don't it? And all of a sudden, things are a little bit different. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So it's just like the wind blowing through. Can't see it. Can't see the wind, can you? But you sure can hear it blowing. It breaks a limb off of your tree and hits your car. Well, you know it all about it. It costs you money, don't it? But anyway, you know, it's amazing. You know, that's the way we, you know, he says that God hath not given ye the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, let's just go back over here just a little bit. Say, well, what happens if I get too afraid? Well, sometimes if you get too afraid, you won't do what you're supposed to do, what God wants you to do. Remember when the Lord told old Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt. He said, oh, I can't speak good. I can't speak good. But the Lord said, well, I'll let Aaron go with you. You know, Aaron can speak. Yeah. So anyway, you know, the Lord's got all the answers.
Yeah.
He's got all the answers. That's why we need to pray to him all the time, isn't it? But anyway, and also when they went down and they liberated the people out of Egypt, they were in heavy bondage. Boy, they were killing their little babies. They was killing all the little male children that come into the world. And they were, you know, they were had them made slaves out of them. And they ain't no telling, you don't want to be no slave. I mean, you don't want bondage. And you don't want communism. You don't want communism. Some people think they do, but they don't.
Yeah.
You know, about the last 2 months or something, we've experienced a little taste of communism, haven't we?
Yeah.
Say, well, now, wait a minute now. You know, that was necessary. Part of it probably was. But the first time, I'm 73 years old, first time in my life that anybody's ever made me not work.
Right.
I've been made to work since I was walking. You know, when I was like in the first or second grade, I had to milk a cow by hand. And you know, at first I liked it, but I got tired of it. And I told my mother and daddy that I was never going to learn to milk again. And so, but anyway, we were made to work. When we was walking, we was working. We lived on a farm. We were farm people. And so I've never in my life have nobody to make me not work. But all of a sudden, all this old stuff comes along, and then all of a sudden, they won't let us work.
Right.
And so I called after a certain period of time. I called down to the barber board, and I said, when are we going to get to go back to work? You know, the governor had already opened up the state of Tennessee, but there was about 6 or 7 counties that didn't want to open up at that time. And that I was working in that county. And they said, well, we don't know. Said, let me give you the number of the health department and you call them. So I called that number and I said, I'm a barber in Madison. And I said, I want to know when that I can go back to work. See, I'm an old man. Me and my wife, we draw Social Security, so I wasn't going to go hungry. But if you was a young guy that had 3 or 4 or 5 kids, and you was a sole supporter, and they told you you couldn't go to work, I mean, you'd get awful upset about that. And so, but anyway, she said, well, phase one starts, May the 11th. And said, 14 days after that, if phase one opens up okay, then you can go to work. And I'm thinking, thank you, Hitler. Hitler's granddaughter. You know, I mean, be nice to me, okay? Don't, I mean, mean, don't talk so forceful, okay? You know, I don't like stuff like that, you know? How about, sir, we're sorry, but, you know, this thing has gotten bad, and, you know, because of that, you know. How about letting me down easy, okay?
Yeah.
But anyway, we finally got to go back to work. But anyway, you know, the children of Israel, after they left Egypt, they go out into the wilderness. They come to Canaan's land, the land of milk and honey. They're supposed to go into Canaan's land. You know, the Lord told them, he said, go in there and I'll do the fighting for you. So they get down there, and in Numbers 13:17, Moses is talking to them, isn't he? And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, Canaan's land. Picture of the church. He said, get you up and go way southward and go up to the mountains and see the land and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak or few or many. He said, see what land it is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, or what the cities that they be dwell in, whether they be tents or strongholds. And so they went up there, okay? He said, be of good courage and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time it was first ripe grapes. I mean, listen to this about these grapes. I mean, we don't have no grapes like that in Tennessee. They got there at the time of first ripe grapes. They cut a big, it said one cluster of grapes, and they had to put it on a pole and two men carry it. I mean, I've never seen grapes like that. It must have been the land of milk and honey. The land must have been rich. Anyway, it said they cut that thing down, they carried it back. And now listen to what they said here. See, now God don't give you the spirit of fear. God gives you the spirit of power, and love, and a sound mind, which is common sense. Said, and we told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They bring back grapes and pomegranates and figs, and boy, they say it's good. But they say, nevertheless. You ever talk to somebody and say, well, what do y'all believe? Well, we believe that salvation is by the grace of God and by the grace of God alone.
Yeah.
They'll say, well, we believe that salvation is by grace, but.
Yeah.
They call that the but religion, don't they? But. You know, but you gotta accept Jesus Christ, you gotta be baptized, you gotta outrun the devil till you die if you want to make it to heaven. Listen to what these people said. The land is good. Oh, it's good there. Nevertheless, now you're going to hear what they really feel about it. Said, nevertheless, the people that be strong dwell in the land. And the cities are walled, very great. Moreover, we saw children of Anak there. It said, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountain, the Canaanites by the sea, and by the Jordan. And they got them big giants there. Hey, these giants, some of them are big. You know how big Goliath was? Oh, Goliath was almost 10 foot tall, wasn't he? I mean, if you saw a man 10 foot tall, that door back there is probably about 10 foot. Maybe, yeah, probably. If a man come through there and he bumped his head on that rafter, you know, if he was after you, it might be kind of scary with him.
Yeah.
But anyway, they said, nevertheless, said, these people are big, they're giants. They said, we're like little grasshoppers. Uh-huh. Said, we're like little grasshoppers. Said, we can't go up against them, they'll kill us. But you know what that did? That made the Lord mad, didn't it? He'd already told them, said, you know, said, go in there. I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
You know, I'll fight for you. But you still got to go in there. And so they decided they wouldn't go. Joshua and Caleb, they said, we can take them. You know, God is with us. They're the only two out of the bunch who told the truth. And they're the only two out of all them people over there that anybody remembers their names, ain't they?
That's right.
But nevertheless, their fear overruled. They didn't have the spirit of power. They had the spirit of fear. And so they turned back. And it made the Lord mad. The Lord said, well, he told Moses, said, I'll just destroy him. And I'll build another people out of you. And Moses, you know, he begged the Lord not to do it. But you know what happened? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, didn't they? Till everybody from 20 years old and upward died in the wilderness because of their fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. And you know, really, we're about to run out of time right here. It's about time to quit. But anyway, we could go on for a long, long time. But I'm going to read you a psalm here. He says, the Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah.
He's the one that's head of all the sheep, isn't he?
Right.
The Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord. Paul referred to Christ as my Lord and my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, if we turn to him and look to him and we work hard and do what we're supposed to do and obey his commandments, he takes care of us. You mean nothing ever bad happens to us? Yes, it does. We're not in heaven yet. But the Lord can take care of you under any circumstance. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's where the good grass is, isn't it? The good grass. You know, the food, God's word, you know, the food for the tender little lambs.
Yep.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Peaceful. Peaceful waters. Said, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, we don't know what's going to happen between now and the grave. Old Elder Doyle Hurst, his wife, passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a pitiful situation. I mean, it just happened suddenly. I mean, we knew that she wasn't healthy, but we didn't know that it was that bad. It's just something that just sudden, hear about it this week, and next week she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a sad situation. And, you know, my heart goes out to him.
Yeah.
He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. But he says, I will fear no evil.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because thou art with me.
Yes. Amen.
You don't have to be afraid if God is with you.
There you go.
You've heard the old saying, you know, God and you are a majority. Hey, God himself is a majority.
Yeah.
You can read several different places in here, you know, where that God was with them. They took 300 men and ran the thousands of them. Gideon done that, didn't he? 300 men. We have thousands of them. Said they was like grasshoppers. Their camels couldn't even be numbered. That's a lot of people, isn't it? Said, well, we're going to divide in three parts, and we're going to surround them. It's thousands of them, maybe 300 of us, but we're going to surround them. They did.
Yep.
And you know what God did? When they blew them trumpets, they got scared, didn't they? They got scared, and they panicked, and they drew their swords and started killing each other, and then they ran for their lives. The power of God. So you don't have to be afraid if God is with you. He said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that wonderful? remember those things and pray for each other and love one another.